thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
When I was in high school, they gave us an opportunity to experience the wilderness, right? It's something that I believe they wouldn't do today, right? It was five adults with five high school students on a trip through the Delaware, right? Over a weekend, started on Friday night, ended on Sunday afternoon. And I'm a city boy, right? I know nothing about hiking, camping, canoeing, rafting, right? All of it was a new experience for me. And it was tough when you could see other of my friends who were exposed to the outside elements, how they would embrace it, right? And I remember it was Saturday night as the sun was going down. We were overlooking the Delaware, and we have parked our canoes, and we took this trail all the way up to look down upon the Delaware. And all of a sudden, the guides that were with us, the teachers, they said, okay, we are going to ask you to do something in order for you to grow in your ability to trust. I was like, what are they going to do? Right? And one by one, what they said was, we are going to blindfold you. It was like, I'm out. Right. Right. But they said, no, this is in growing, in learning how to trust the people who are over you. Right. And here were the instructions. We're going to blindfold you. Right. We're going to be behind you. And at first, as we start, they're going to put their hand on our shoulder. And as you listen, the instructions would be, okay, walk forward. And they were going to lead us on this trail that eventually brought us to the edge of this cliff looking down into the Delaware River. Right? And I was like, I don't know if I'm right. So the first guy goes, and all of a sudden you see him, right? And it starts off really slow, right? Because you now have to listen for the instructions of where you're going to put your left and your right foot, right? Okay, there's a rock on the ground, and all of a sudden they take you up around the bend, and each one of the kids disappears, right? Because of the trees. And then eventually it's my turn. Right, and my mind is racing in every direction. Right, it's like, am I going to get hurt? Am I going to get jumped? Right, is this serious? Like I didn't sign up for this. Right, and the teacher that was with me, he said, "Okay, Jose, you just need to listen, right, and trust my instructions." Right, and at first, every step was difficult, right? To lift one foot and put it down. And then he said, okay, my hand's on your shoulder. I'm going to take my hand off your shoulder, but still listen to my voice, right? And the only thing I could think of is the cliff is getting closer and I'm going to go over, right? And eventually, he says, okay, we've arrived, right? He goes, I'm going to take the blindfold off of you. And as he takes it off of me, right, he had led me to about 3 feet. Now, there was a rail there, right? So I wasn't going over. But all of a sudden, he said, okay, look. And as I looked, I was like, ah! Right? Because it was the last thing I was expecting, even though I knew, right, that something like this was going to happen. But in the end, the next kid comes behind me, right? And all of a sudden, they said, right, that was an exercise in trusting, right? And putting your whole trust in somebody else, right? And as I was thinking of this psalm, that's the story that came to mind, right? Because this is a psalm of trusting God. This is a psalm of trusting God when in front of you there's a dilemma, right? And sometimes the options that you have in order to resolve your dilemma, both options are not good from your point of view, right? So what do I do now, right? Where do I go, right? It's that was what was running through my head as I was just contemplating this blindfold, right? It's like everything was just rushing through my mind. It was like, you know, there's 5 adults, 3 kids. Like, am I crazy? I signed up for this, right? But God was teaching me something that night, right? But again, when you're thinking of your choices and your options, right? Here's a couple of defining information for you and for me in reference to dilemma, right? A situation that requires a choice between an option that are or seem equally unfavorable or unsatisfactory, right? It's, if I go this way, that's not good. If I go this way, that's not good. A problem that seems to defy a satisfactory solution. It's like, how can I get out of here? Right? And it was like, and if I didn't do this, I would have been the only one not to do it, right? I felt the pressure, right? A state of things in which evil or the obstacle presents themselves on every side. It's difficult to determine what course to pursue, right? The predicament that we find ourselves in. Right, and sometimes that's how we feel when it's about telling somebody the truth. If I tell them the truth, will they like me? Or is it better that I not tell them the truth, right, and withhold this information, right? It's 2 possible answers, and both of them at that moment don't feel right, right? And for those of us who saw the movie Sophie's Choice, right, it's about an option of 2 different individuals, and it seems that either one isn't beneficial, right? But this is where David brings us in this psalm. We've been going through the psalms, and this particular psalm is in a collection of psalms that's called the penitential psalms, right? And these are psalms where David is confessing his sin. And if you want to know the other ones, it would be Psalm 6, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and then this one, Psalm 143. And a penitential psalm is a psalm when you are confessing your sin. And in the life of the church, as you would notice, there are 7 of them And these would either be recited at the beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday, or they would be recited each week leading up to Holy Week, right? Because there are seven. But most people would struggle with Psalm 143 because David isn't confessing a particular sin. However, he does make a reference to us being not righteous, right? And historians feel like that really the church, as it was looking over the liturgy, right? It likes things in numbers that end, you know, in a total of seven, right? So they feel like they just plug this one in there, right? But you'll see how it does fit. As David was seeking something from God, the very one that he needed to trust, just how we need something from God and we need to trust him, right? So it would start off a Psalm of David. So it doesn't tell us the particular event that was causing David to cry out to God. You know, some would say maybe this was a period of time before he became king and Saul was chasing after him. Or maybe it was later in life when he was hiding from his son Absalom, right? And his son Absalom was trying to take over the kingdom, right? But neither one of those pieces of information changes how we're going to hear and receive this psalm. He would start, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my plea for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness." Right? David is seeking something from God. He is earnestly asking God to hear his prayer. Let me ask you, when you pray, do you start off your prayer with this, "Lord, I pray that you will hear my prayer"? And in other words, that he would be actively engaged in the prayer that you are offering. Or are you just offering a prayer to God? Right? It's a way of being intentional about what you are asking God to do for you. To give ear to his plea. And it's a plea for mercy, right? "Lord, I need all these things, but the one thing I need more from you right now is mercy. Before I pray for that prayer of healing, before I pray for that prayer of restoration, before I pray for whatever the thing I need mercy from you." Mercy. And then he focuses on his character. "In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness." Right? That he would answer. Right? And part of this is driven because God in the past has answered him. God has shown up in his life. And it's based on everything he has experienced with God that he's able to sit here today, right, and say, "I need your mercy. In your faithfulness, answer, hear me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one living is righteous before you," right? And that's the part that I said earlier, right? It's a confession of our human state, right? It's the very thing that Paul would remind us later in Romans 3, right? "For none is righteous, not a single one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Right? He's saying, in the middle of this plea of asking God to hear, to have mercy. The very God who's been faithful, that as you listen to my prayer, don't pass judgment on me. Right? Because I know, right, that when it's between me and God, I'm a sinner. Are you a sinner today? Right? Because that's a good place to be at today, to know that. Because it means that you can't save yourself. Right? And as we get closer to Easter, it's a constant reminder of what he did for us, right? That he took on sin on behalf of us so that if we would put our faith and trust in his finished work, we would have life beyond this life. For my enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hand. Right? So here's where we don't know who the enemy is. Who's pursuing David? But this psalm has to apply to our lives today. Right? And as I was looking at this psalm this past week, right, it's like, here's what God gave me, right? That my enemy of my soul, right, is the sin that pursues me day and night. Like, ask yourself, right? Where's your thought life on a regular basis? Are you constantly thinking of God? Are you constantly reading his word? Are you constantly investing your life in the things of God? Or are you constantly investing in the things of this world, right? Are you being distracted by Netflix? Are you being distracted by social media? Are you being distracted by the things of this world where you're not worshiping God, right? And all of a sudden, day by day, it is sapping the life from you. Maybe you think your enemy is your employer at work and you dread. Can't believe I got to go to work today again. Oh, it's Monday, right? Monday. Whew. Right? Maybe there's an illness, right? And you see that as the enemy. That's the thing that is disrupting my life and the life of my friends and everybody, right? Something that is looking to crush me. I feel like I've been pulverized to the ground. My soul is just dark. And you get to that edge and you go, what's the sense? What's the sense of doing all of this? Right? And you're reminded that in your own power, in your own strength, that your spirit is just exhausted. My heart within me is just ready to give up on everything, right? But then David gives us three things that he did and three things that we can do in order to trust, right? That God's going to get us to the end of the path, right? And we're going to be able to take those blindfolds off and see all that he has done for us, right? Right? He says, I'm going to remember the days of old. I'm going to remember every time I prayed and you intervened in my life. I'm going to especially remember the days when I didn't pray and you showed up in my life. I'm going to remember. I'm going to meditate on all that you have done, right? So when you think of all that he had done in reference to David's life, what he is remembering and meditating on is the stories early on in our Bibles. The story of the creation account, the story of Noah, the stories of Exodus, right? Where all of a sudden God made a way where there was no way. The stories of David's own life as God showed up, as God gave him all that he needed when he was before Goliath. I'm going to remember. I didn't know how you were going to do it, but I'm going to meditate on those. Because you didn't have to do it, but you did it. It was for your glory, your honor, and you did it for me. And as I remember and as I meditate, I'm going to ponder, right? That word ponder is to consider, it's to contemplate, it is to reflect on the works of your hand, right? And you hear what it says. It's not the works of my hand, it is the works of your hand. Right, and all of a sudden, you see David, by what God has done, all of a sudden lifting his eyes up to God. All of a sudden, he's no longer feeling crushed. Right, it's all of a sudden there's hope. Even though God hasn't answered nothing yet, right, he's just remembering. He's just meditating. He's pondering. It's amazing, right, that when that teacher pulled off that blindfold, and at first I got scared. And all of a sudden, as I stood there, and they just said, just take it all in, right? And all of a sudden, I was able to remember, right, what I went through. But now I'm remembering with no fear. I'm remembering with no apprehension. I'm remembering that, you know what? He said, trust me. And here's what I know about trust, right? If 51% of you trust more than you don't trust, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I stretched out my hands to you. My soul thirsts like a parched land, Selah. Right? And again, that Selah is a note for us to take a pause, right? Not only does Dave in his scripture say to take a pause, to ponder, but now in this song, the song is telling us to take a pause, right? Because remember where we started. Hear me, Lord, right? Hear me. I stretch out my hand, right? And most commentators would say that as much as that David is stretching out his hand, right? It is David reaching out to God's hand that's already out there for him, right? My soul thirsts, right? In the Hebrew, that's nefesh, right? And it's this deep part within each human being, right? That have you ever been thirsty and you drink and it's almost as if you can't quench that thirst? Right? It is like that. Right? It's deep within you. Right? And that's how he's driven in order to seek God, right? As if he is parched. And only God can satisfy. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. For in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Right? Some would say that this is a mourning psalm because of that verse, right? Let me hear in the morning. Like, how many of us need to hear a good word in the morning, right? Before our day gets started, right? And we do our devotionals, and our hope is maybe today I'll hear that voice that's a little bit different than every other voice, right? To hear from God. To hear an answer. Right? And here's the thing, right? It's when we pray to God, right? It's we always want to hear yesterday, right? Right? It feels as if today is already too late, right? But then when he answers, there's that part of us where we say, you know what? That was perfect timing, right? It's, I could have not done it the way God did it, right? And remember, those are the things that David says, I remember. Those are the things that I'm going to meditate on. Those are the things that I'm going to ponder. This steadfast love, right? This unfailing love, this chesed that God has for him just as much as he has for us. And that's a Hebrew word that in our English language, we can't even describe or communicate because we need 10 other words to come close to this steadfast love that God has for his people. So what do we do now? Which way do we go? Right, ask yourself. Maybe you came here this morning with a heavy heart, right? Looking for an answer. Maybe you've been waiting for an answer, right? And the answer we got is, even though we knew 99% what the answer was going to be, we were hoping for something a little bit different, right? And the solution to the problem seems a little bit difficult and harsh, right? What do we turn to? What do we do? Where do we go? Deliver me from my enemies, right? That would be David's ultimate prayer, right? And like I said, right, I believe as much as for David, these were people chasing him, I think for us, our enemy is our sinful lives, right? The things that create doubt, the things that question who God is in his goodness. Oh Lord, I have plead to you for refuge, right? He's my refuge. He is the one that provides the covering that you and I need. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. But you hear what he's saying? He's saying, deliver me. Teach me. Lead me. Right? In other words, David is at a place where he's saying, I don't have the answers. So many of us think we have answers, right, to the problems that are in front of us. Right? And David, in his humility, is saying, I don't know. I don't know. I need constant deliverance from the things that are constantly attacking me. I need to be constantly taught not to do my will, but to do your will. Lord, lead me on level ground, right? Because it's, let me tell you, when I was walking on that path, every pebble seemed to want to throw me off. Right? It's almost like everything was heightened in reference to my senses, right? As you're walking and now you're listening, right? And you're just taking a step, right? And the only thing I was hearing is, Jose, you're doing okay. Meanwhile, not knowing what's in front of me. Right? He would end with this. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. In your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. Right? And here are a few things that we can learn from these last verses, right? It's his argument, right? In reference of why he is trusting God. And as he argues for why he trusts God, it's a way for us to trust God because it should be our argument too, right? It is as a result of his namesake, because of God and his character, of who he is, what he's done, what he will do, what, right? It's, he's done it, right? It's because of his name. Oh Lord, preserve my life. It is because of his righteousness, not my righteousness. Like sometimes I forget. Right? Because I have received his righteousness. Sometimes it's, I think, hey, it's my righteousness. No, it's Isaiah would remind us, right, that we are all filthy rags. Right? I believe in 1 John 1, right, 14, somewhere around there, right, it says, if you confess your sins, he is just and righteous. That he would cleanse your sins. It's his righteousness, not mine. And as a result of that, he will pluck me out of the situation that I'm at, whatever troubles I might find myself. Not to say that life itself is going to change, but that I would have peace in him. And then because of his steadfast love, his unfailing love. He doesn't have to do it, but he wants to do it on behalf of you and me. And we see that through the giving of his son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. His steadfast love, his namesake, his righteousness, his love for you and for me, even though you and I are unlovable. Right? Like ask yourself in your own private prayer life, like sometimes when you do something that's off base, right, and you sit there and go, I can't believe I did that. It might not be recently, but just ask yourself in your life, whenever you did something that was ungodly, where all of a sudden your tongue attacked somebody, all of a sudden, because of a joke that went too far, right? And sometimes the people in our lives leave us, right? But our God, if we put our faith and trust in him and we seek forgiveness, he will not leave us. So when you and I are going through a difficult time, when I reflect on this psalm, right, it's about being active. Lord, hear my prayer before I even ask for anything, right? Be attentive to me. May your ear lean down. Lord, there are so many enemies, and each one of these enemies are looking to diminish who you are as God. Lord, help me to remember. Help me to meditate Help me to ponder all that you have done. Right? That when I read your word, even though I was not there, I can trust your word because you did it. That's the God that I can trust. That I can trust his name. That in him, he is righteous. And because of Christ, he imputes that righteousness upon me. And he loves you. He loves you in a way that you cannot even imagine. Right? That's, he loved you when you were a sinner and you did not even know him. He loved you. Right? And I think sometimes we get confused that, hey, now that I am a believer, he must love me a little bit more. No. His love does not increase because of something you did. It is always because of what he did. Right? And when we come to this table, we are reminded of what he did. It reminds us of his love. Would you pray with me? Lord, we do thank you for these words that we have today, written by David, your servant, who would teach us to remember. He would teach us to meditate and ponder, to consider all the things that you have done. That in the midst of it, we would remember your name as we would pray and seek you. That we would see your righteousness, your steadfast love for your children. And Lord, all of that is captured at this table. Lord, help us now. As we commune with you, God, we thank you and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.